It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congressman Glenn Grothman wrote a letter this week to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue urging him to help out cranberry growers caught up in retaliatory tariffs imposed by countries in trade disputes with the U.S. It's one item on a list of things we plan to ask him about as we have these year-end conversations with House members. Representative Grothman is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, includes Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, and Portage. He's about to enter his third term in Congress, and he joins us on the line from Washington as we look at the big issues on the Hill. Representative Grothman, thanks for being here on the Ideas Network.
Well, glad to be on the show. Always glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio, as you know.
Well, this morning, President Trump proposed a plan to make work requirements stricter for people on food stamps, and the plan really goes against the $870 billion farm bill, which the president is expected to sign soon. And in its current iteration, the farm bill does not impose these tougher work requirements for SNAP benefits. Do you agree with the president's decision here?
I agree with his position, and actually one of the reasons I voted for the farm bill is there was a fear that had the farm bill gone down and it had to be brought back in next session with the Democrats and the majority, that they would have tried to strip President Trump of that power. I know some people voted against the farm bill, but they had to be aware that by doing so, you would have had a renegotiation. This, quite frankly, does not surprise me. It's something that we had actually been asked to vote for the farm bill by the Trump, or at least I had been asked to vote for the farm bill by the Trump administration, so they would retain the ability to put work requirements in there.
So you think that these SNAP benefits would have been coming down the pipeline regardless, these work requirements?
No, there was a danger that if we had not passed the farm bill, that the Democrats would have inserted something in the farm bill, taking this flexibility away from President Trump. So it doesn't surprise me that this happened. We had been told prior to the farm bill vote that they wanted the farm bill to pass as is, so that President Trump would have had this capability. And by the way, I strongly agree with the work requirements. First of all, the current system, as so much the safety net system, discourages work, and that's a bad thing for individuals. I mean, I can't imagine going through life without ever needing a job. Furthermore, I think past experience shows that when you put work requirements in effect, a large number, particularly of able-bodied adults without dependents, wind up dropping off the food stamps. Some of them get jobs, and I think some of them probably had other income, maybe off the books income, and that's why they're not getting jobs. But it's a good thing for President Trump to do, and
Let's take a look at the current situation on a government shutdown. Lawmakers are facing this deadline tomorrow to agree on a plan to fund the government and avert a partial shutdown. Last night, the Senate passed a short-term spending bill that would keep the government open through early February. That plan did not include the money President Trump wants for the border wall, and he hasn't signed the bill yet. So what's your take on this package?
Well, we're going to find out more about it in 20 minutes. I'd like some commitment from the Trump administration that somehow they are going to build that wall. I think probably one of the two biggest problems in the country that could sink the country is our inability to control the borders. Obviously, a wall would be a good way to do that, the best way to do it. It's a promise that President Trump made. And I'd like to hear from the administration this morning as to exactly how they plan on building that wall.
Well, there's a lot of give and take here because President Trump is looking for $5 billion. Democrats are willing to give $1 billion and change. You said recently in a Fox 11 interview that it's fiscally irresponsible not to build the wall. Why is that?
Well, you've got to remember, when people come here illegally, some end up on the welfare system. They're taking advantage of our educational system. They're taking advantage of our health care system big time. I mean, in our country, you know, you show up at the emergency room, they're going to take care of you. And I'm not sure how much of the spiraling health care costs in this country are attributed to people who are here illegally. Plus, I give a number of people who are illegally get involved in the criminal justice system as well. I mean, the degree to which government has to help, we do not want new immigrants in this country that the government has to take care. We're already borrowing over 20% of our budget. So I don't see in the long run how we can balance the budget taking more and more people here illegally coming across the border.
Glenn Grothman is a Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. You have a line to him, 800-642-1234. Immigration and border security are top issues facing Congress. What is a solution? How should Wisconsin's representatives act on these big issues now and in the future? And what issue do you want to see Representative Grothman prioritize in Congress for 2019? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, immigration and border security, certainly a top-of-mind issue for lawmakers. What action do you want to see the White House and Congress take on immigration and border security next year?
Well, I would like to see them build a wall. In addition to building the wall, I think there are a given number of immigrants who have to be removed from this country. I think anybody on the welfare system should be removed. I think there are rumors that people, particularly in California, but perhaps other places, people are here illegally were voting. If those people can be tracked down, I think they should be removed. I think we can't even accept more immigrants here legally, but we have to make sure we're getting people who are going to work hard, people who have stable families, and because we do have a labor shortage in this country, but we just have to make sure we're getting good people.
Help us understand the legislation you introduced in September that is currently in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and the bill would restrict eligibility for certain federal assistance benefits to immigrants.
Absolutely. People are not citizens, should not be eligible for welfare benefits. You know, sometimes people are already here, they can get in trouble, they can need help. But if you're here and are not going to be working and are going to be living on government welfare benefits, well, go back to your country of origin. And historically, that's the way it's happened in this country. If you look at past waves of immigrants, you know, even in the 19th century, many, many people who came here couldn't make it or didn't like it and returned home. Well, if you can't make it in the United States, fine, go back to your country of origin. But we should not, under any circumstances, be having people who are not U.S. citizens on government benefits.
Well,
that seems like common sense.
There's also this proposed change where the Trump administration would link welfare and immigration benefits and a change to U.S. immigration rules that would make it harder for some immigrants who receive welfare benefits to stay in the U.S. Help us understand where you come down on this rule change with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
I agree with President Trump's rule change, but I think my proposal is a little bit cleaner and more all-encompassing.
Why is that?
Well, we're just taking all immigrants and saying right off the top, you don't get benefits. And I think if that happens, by the way, some of the immigrants who we don't want here will leave on their own.
Let's go.
Not to mention, we just have too many people on means-based testing across the board.
Let's go to Ann joining us from Campbellsport now. Hi, Ann.
Hi. My comment is most of the illegal immigrants that come to the United States come here legally through visas, but then don't return when they expire. We know that most of the farms, or many, many of the farms in Wisconsin and hotel business and restaurants use these illegal immigrants for very cheap labor. What are you doing about the employers, instead of concentrating on a wall, which is a waste of money? What are you doing about the employers in this state that are exploiting these people?
Ann, thanks for the call. Congressman Grothman, your take on what Ann is saying there.
Well, sometimes the federal government does crack down on these employers. You could argue they'd crack down on more. I think the employers would argue that frequently the people who work for them have some sort of phony ID, and they're not able to determine whether or not these people are here legally or not. Like I said, I think a good place to start removing people would be people who are here taking advantage of government benefits that shouldn't be, or people committing crimes, that sort of thing. I am aware that right now our need for immigrant labor is sometimes done by hiring illegals, and common sense would say it would be better if we would be hiring people here legally rather than people here illegally.
Let's go to Victor in Madison with some thoughts. Victor, go ahead.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate speaking with you, Representative. My question to you, or comment, is we know that Congress is fundamentally broken. I would like to know, what is your commitment to the citizens of Wisconsin, to the citizens of your district, to break the brokenness of Congress? What is your commitment to not do the talking points from Republicans, not to do the Democratic talking points, but to literally get down to the fundamental business of fixing our country? What is your commitment to breaking a stalemate in Congress? And I would like an answer, because my heart is heavy, and I want to hear your answer, Congressman.
Thank you, Victor.
Well, I guess you say Congress is broken, and it depends by what you mean broken. I think we're spending too much money, and I think we just have to educate the public on who is spending the money so they don't keep sending people up here who do spend so much. I think we pass huge numbers of bills. We're passing significant bills this week. We passed a big farm bill last week. So to say we're getting nothing done is not true. We are getting things done. The problem is we're getting the wrong things done. And I think our forefathers anticipated that in a country based on elections, it's easy for elected officials to get reelected by spending other people's money. To a certain extent, that's the fault of the people who are voting wrong. To a certain extent, it's the fault of the press for not pointing that out. I think one of the big problems in Congress is we have a 60-vote rule in the Senate, and all appropriation bills need 60 votes to pass. Appropriation bills are where we fund so much of the government. We are not solving the problem today because, quite frankly, the Democrat Party, and they get along with a lot of Democrats very well, but they are insisting on, I would say, an excessive amount of spending.
And we're going to pause. We're going to pause right there, talking with Representative Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Your questions are at the forefront, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to our conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The 116th Congress will be sworn into office on January 3rd, 2 weeks from today, in fact. And the incoming House of Representatives is shaping up to be the most diverse House in history. There will be more women, women of color, openly LGBT members, and millennials serving in the House than ever before. So with this as the backdrop, Congressman Glenn Grothman will enter his third term in office representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He's on the line from Washington, where we're having this year-end conversation with House members looking at top issues on Capitol Hill and how they hit home here in Wisconsin. And your questions are welcome, 800-642-1234. What do you want to see happen in the trade war? Is your industry impacted by new tariffs? And what issues do you want Congressman Grothman to take up legislatively in 2019? Let's talk about it, 800-642-1234. So you and other congresspeople recently sent this letter to U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue about the relief for cranberry growers while tariffs are still in place. What was the thrust of this letter?
Well, cranberries are, you know, an important crop in the state of Wisconsin. There are other crops or areas of agriculture that have received relief, and we're just saying that the cranberry growers ought to be treated like every other type of agriculture. So really, we're just adding them to the other segments of the agriculture industry that have been negatively affected by the trade war.
So what will
no reason to discriminate against the cranberry guys and gals.
And so will the cranberry growers get some relief from being in the midst of a tariff war here?
They may. I mean, it's up to the Trump administration, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if they give them relief. I think overall the Farm Bill was good to all sorts of Wisconsin people involved in agriculture, particularly the dairy industry. So hopefully that'll provide some relief. hopefully this thing will wrap up. I will point out with regard to the trade war, the most important thing I think we're fighting for here is the intellectual property side. You talk to any business that does business with China, and they will find that once they set up a factory there, pretty soon there's another factory selling knockoffs that are as identical as they can be to the American design product. And I think insofar as we do something about that, we should consider that a win. I think the steel and aluminum tariffs are sometimes there's a disagreement in the Trump administration, and I am not in favor of those because it winds up raising costs for American producers putting them at a competitive disadvantage compared to our foreign competitors.
Let's switch gears a moment here and talk health care. A federal judge in Texas ruled last week that the entire Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. The case is in appeal, so the law remains in effect. What is your reaction to that ruling in Texas, and which is likely to make it to the Supreme Court?
I think it might be a good ruling, but I don't know anybody up here who thinks the ruling will be upheld on appeal. So there has not been a lot of feeling of we have to do something tomorrow because of that ruling. We do have to do things because the cost of health insurance is excessively high. It's to a large extent excessively high because of so much government interference. But that's separate from this ruling. I don't know anybody up here who thinks that ruling is going to be upheld on appeal. So there's not a feeling that that is a reason we have to do something tomorrow.
But you call it a good ruling. Why is that?
Because I do think the ACA was unconstitutional.
Let's go to Larry now in Kingston. Hi, Larry. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
I believe that that the Republican Party giving all those tax breaks to the upper 1%, which brought upon a deficit in this country of $1 trillion, and then they cry about what poor people getting food stamps or SNAP. I think it's very unchristian-like to give to the rich and take from the poor.
Larry, thanks for the call. Let's get the congressman to respond on that.
Well, first of all, I think almost anybody in the middle class received a tax cut if you were paying taxes. So I don't buy that the tax cut was for the rich. There were tax cuts aimed at corporations, and I will point out that at different times both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama felt that we had to get our corporate tax rate in line with the rest of the industrialized world. We want jobs for people who want to work. To have jobs for people who want to work, we have to have a business climate competitive with that in China or Europe. Our tax rate was just much higher on businesses than in those two regions of the world. And one of the reasons why I do think you're seeing record low unemployment, which provides a lot of jobs for average people, is because of what we did there. With regard to the means-tested benefits like SNAP, the problem is not just the cost. The cost is a problem, but the problem is what it does to individuals. Okay, I don't think it's a good thing to have people not working and living on what I call the welfare system. Right now, the current system is such that it encourages people to live a lifestyle in which they're not working. That's not good for them. So the major beneficiary of a work requirement people who will benefit from work requirements is the people who are going to have to go to work rather than sitting at home.
Larry, thanks for the call. Speaking of federal spending, Congressman, outgoing House Speaker Paul Ryan has said that one of his regrets is not paying off the national debt. So in light of the shutdown talks and where we are budgetarily, where do you come down on this, the national debt?
I think, quite frankly, I like Paul a lot. I think he should have been more aggressive in holding the line on spending. We had another spending bill on the floor yesterday. I think it was one of 29 people to vote against it. Another upper. So I think leadership, both the Democrat and Republican Party, have to be more aggressive in not putting big spending bills on the floor. And I think in Congress, when the Republicans were in control, the type of people who were put in powerful positions on spending were people who had been around here forever and just spent money like drunken sailors. And that was one of the big problems we had.
So you're entering. Go ahead. Finish.
I said we had another bill yesterday on the floor that was, you know, another spending bill, ramping up an agency back to the higher level of spending that was there 7 years ago. We had, I think, 28 or 29 no votes. I mean, if you put spending bills on the floor, one thing I've learned is this Congress will pass them. So you need strong leadership at the top to say, we're not going to put big spending bills on the floor.
Well, you're entering your third term. What advice would you offer the new members of the House?
Well, I think my advice is to the current leadership to say we're not going to agree to any more spending. Now, unfortunately, we're in the minority now. When the Republicans were in the majority, they kind of blew it. But I think they have to lecture people and keep key committees, lecture people as far as when you think of bills to introduce, don't introduce bills that spend more. That's the problem. And like I said, I think it comes down to leadership. Because if you look again and again, if a spending bill comes to the floor of the U.S. Congress, you can get, you know, 20 or 40 of us to vote no. But the vast majority are going to vote yes for almost everything. So leadership has got to step up and say, we're not going to bring this type of bill to the floor.
Let's turn briefly to Wisconsin. You and Governor Scott Walker served in the state assembly together for a time. What do you think is next for Governor Walker?
I bet he didn't think about it at all until the night he lost. He was going all out to run for the campaign. I hope he finds something good. It's kind of an unusual job. You know, normally if you lose your job, you look for another company and try to do the same thing with them. But it's not like if you lose your job for governor of Wisconsin, you turn around the next day and apply to be governor of Iowa. So Scott's going to have to find an entirely different job. We wish him well. And like I said, I'm sure it's something he didn't even think about 2 months ago.
We've been landing on this same last question for all the lawmakers. What is your New Year's resolution for Congress?
I don't have a resolution for Congress. We actually get along very good, but I think far better than the public knows. But I think a resolution should be to have a meal with a member of the opposite party once a week. How's that for a new resolution?
Question is, who pays for it? Glenn Grothman, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be on the show, as always.
Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, Glenn Grothman. Just ahead, language lovers, have we got a show for you. Join us as our guest linguist explains, no matter how vigilant you are about your split infinitives, well, it's no use. Language just can't be tamed. You're with us. It is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.